Can you hear me? Can you hear me? Yeah? Okay. Yep. So today's reading comes from Philippians 2, 1 to 18. And I'm reading the NIV version about imitating Christ's humility. Therefore, if you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from his love, if any common sharing in his spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and of one mind. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves, not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interests of the others. In your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus, who, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee shall bow, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Therefore, my dear friends, as you have always obeyed, not only in my presence, but now much more in my absence, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you to will and to act in order to fulfill his good purpose. So do everything without grumbling or arguing, so that you may become blameless and pure, children of God without fault in a warped and crooked generation. Then you will shine among them like stars in the sky as you hold firmly to the word of life. And then I will be able to boast on the day of Christ that I did not run or labour in vain. But even if I am being poured out like a drink offering on the sacrifice and service coming from your faith, I am glad and rejoice with all of you. So you too should be glad and rejoice with me. Amen.
Thank you very much, Paula. Cheers. Lovely. Douglas, would you like to come up and... Father God, I welcome my brother Doug to talk to us this morning. Not just talk to us. May we hear, may we listen. May his words embed themselves in our lives. Amen.
Amen.
Bless
Thank you, Nigel.
Thank you.
Good morning. You hear me? I'm clear. Good. Is that a bit too loud? Is it okay? Okay. I think that's working. Yeah. Oh, it's in my heartbeat.
Yeah.
Okay.
Is that going to be okay like that?
Yeah. It's not too high, that's all right. My football team is not playing, so my heart rate is low. Good morning. It's great to be here again. And I don't know if you remember last month... Rachel, when she had the Talking Jesus slot, and she talked about, as it was early in the year, it was in January, and she talked about not having a New Year resolution, but she did say that she had decided on two words, and she wanted to act on these two words for 2025. Rather than a New Year's resolution. And she was very bold and open enough to share her two words with us. And if I remember correctly, her two words were courage and expectancy. Those are Rachel's two words. But I remember going home and thinking about, that's really good. It was a challenge, and I thought, I don't particularly ever have New Year resolutions, but I thought, that's actually a really good idea to have two words that I can act upon. But then all these words started coming through my mind. I couldn't really decide, and I must have thought of, various words. I couldn't decide. But I do remember later that afternoon, it was an FA Cup was on and my football team were playing. They weren't doing very well. They were playing a lower division team. Remember, Dennis? And I was getting quite frustrated watching them playing. Because they're supposed to be winning against this, team that were in the lower division, but they weren't. And I was getting quite frustrated. So I kept saying, oh Lord, is patience one of the words you're trying to give me? But anyway, I couldn't decide on what my two words were. But the following week, I started preparing for my talk for today. And that's when the first thing I did was I said, oh, let me go and read Philippians. And I read which Paula just read. And it was, the passage really spoke to me. And it was, I was immediately convinced after reading this passage what my two words were going to be. And it was as if the Holy Spirit was saying, bang, there you go, Douglas, here are your two words. It's amazing. It was really strong. And I'm glad Nigel did his little talk with the children today, because one of those words that came to me was humility. So the two words that came to me for me to act for 2025 was humility and encouragement. One is, I was humbled by reading about the humility of the greatest man to live and walk on the earth. And that through his word and his spirit, he is encouraging me to be like him. Not just be like him, to live my life so that others can see him through me. And not just leave it at that, but to encourage others to be more like him. Because what he's showing me is the greatest example of humility. So my talk today is to bring you God's word, what he spoke into my heart, and not to make you feel in any way guilty or remorseful or anything, but it's to encourage you, just as I have been encouraged by reading, and the more I prepared, the more God encouraged me. And not just that, because Paul here is, what's he doing? Paul's encouraging the church of Philippi. And also, let's not forget our topic as a church family is living like Jesus. And I think it's on, thank you. Right. So, that's our reading and our topic today. What's Paul, initially, Paul starts off with quite a few statements or questions to the church. He says, is there any encouragement of belonging to Christ? I think the definite answer is yes. But he goes on to have a whole checklist, checklist of statements, questions. Do you have common sharing in the Spirit? He goes on to say, are you tender and compassionate? Are you one spirit and mind? We probably have a lot of yeses to some of these questions and believe that we do have them. But then Paul goes on and preaches a bit more to the church of Philippi. He says, don't be selfish and conceited. In humility, value others just as you, before yourself. Put others' interests before your own. Now, what's Paul doing? Paul is preaching to the church to be unified together. And we saw a lot of examples today of unity, and Nigel was talking also about it. Have the same thought and mind as you pursue something. Unified in our mindset as that of Jesus Christ. Now, pursuing something, having a mindset where you pursue something. Let's take a workplace in your secular jobs. Now, most people who are employed will kind of have, goals, objectives, KPIs, you know, you've got all these fancy words, whatever it is. But generally, we are set kind of some goals to achieve. And then what happens? You have a mindset then to want to achieve those goals at work, okay? Because there's quite a lot attached to it. There's quite a lot, you know, stake there. So our mindset is made up for us to try and be the best in what we do in a workplace, because a lot is riding on it. You know, for example, you want recognition or promotion or security, pay increase or whatever it is. But it makes me wonder, you know, sometimes do we have the same mindset that we might have in our workplace for our goals there? Do we have the same mindset in our Christian life and in our walk with God? Do we have a strong desire to pursue something for God and the Lord Jesus? Do we pursue in having a strong, intimate relationship with Him first of all, and then chase after whatever else? How strong is our mindset for Jesus, where we put Him before everything and anything and everything in our lives? Now, the answer's probably going to be not very strong mindset of putting Jesus first or spending time with Him. One of the most common excuses that we might have is time. I've heard that with many people, of course, myself included. If we are honest with ourselves, we use sometimes time or lack of it as a defense for not spending enough time with Jesus. However, we don't need time to spend with Jesus. We don't need time to follow, obey Him. What we need is an attitude. So what we need to have an attitude towards having an attitude like Jesus. With that, I'll say it again. So our attitude should be to have the same attitude of Jesus. Yes, we can have an attitude or a desire to follow Jesus. The Bible says, and we read this, that God will give you the desire and strength to become more holy. You can also choose to pursue a right attitude and allow God to show you the way. So, what does the Bible say? Okay, it does work, it's on and off. So what does the Bible say about attitude? Can you read that? Yeah, okay. So Philippians 2:5 says, you should have the same attitude that Christ Jesus had. And Romans 15, I think. Oh, is it point there? So, thank you. Thanks for that tip. Okay, that's right. Well done. Thank you, Seth. Okay, Romans 15 says, may the God who gives endurance and encouragement give you the same attitude of mind towards each other that Christ Jesus had. 1 Peter 4, 1 says, you must arm yourself with the same attitude Christ had. James, humble yourselves before the Lord and he will lift you up. And Romans, do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. It's quite easy to think, well, how can I have an attitude like Jesus? He's God. Well, you're right. He is God. He's the Son of the living God. He is one with the Father. However, let's not forget that Jesus was fully man when he walked on earth. Okay? There are things that Jesus did that we can't do. You know, we can't, like dying on the cross, taking away the sins of the world. But there are things that Jesus did. And we know because he walked on earth as man. And that is who the Bible tells us to be and to live like. Let's go back to the example I gave you just now about time or the lack of time or not spending time with Jesus. Now, if that is your reason, then be assured that Jesus completely understands that. Now, in reality, you may not have every day an hour, you know, to spend time. Because, you know, it's a rush, you've got limited time and go to work or whatever it is you're doing. You realistically may not have the time to sit each morning or have a quiet time. But Jesus will completely understand that. But what we can do is develop a strong desire to put him first. You know, maybe, I don't know, wake up, commit your day to God right in the beginning. Thank him for the gift and the breath of life. You wake up and say, thank you that I'm alive. Thank you for your breath of life. Ask him for a fresh anointing of his Holy Spirit to help you, guide you, lead you through the day. Ask Jesus, Lord, align my spirit with your spirit. Align my ways with your ways. Align my thoughts with your thoughts. For his word says that his thoughts and his ways are greater than ours. Ask the Holy Spirit to think less of yourself and more of the Lord. You know, you can't read the Bible a lot before you go to work in the morning, but maybe you can take 2 minutes and read a verse and maybe try and meditate on that verse, repeat that verse as many times as you can in the day. You know, opening the Bible and just looking at a verse, it works. I remember somebody telling me once that certain things, Johnny, if you don't open an umbrella, if you don't open a book, it doesn't work. The Bible is there, but it only works when we open it. You know, well, we're more tech now, you open it, but you still have to open it on your phone also if you have an app. No matter what's going on in your life and whatever your circumstances are, you can repeat, you know, verses. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. The Lord is good. His steadfast love endures forever. Whatever verses you can remember or promises that God gives us in the Bible are full of promises. Repeat those from there. One of the things I love, and I know Dawn read it last week during Psalm 18. She read Psalm 18, verse 1 and 2. I love you, Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock, my fortress, and my deliverer. My God is my rock, in whom I take refuge, my shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold. And that's an encouraging verse to read and to hold on to dearly. I want to learn to live like Jesus lived so that I can learn to do what Jesus did. But just knowing how Jesus lived and of his greatness is not just enough. As someone once said, knowing is about giving the right answers, but believing is living the right responses. You cannot, or we cannot, live like Jesus if we don't believe in him. If we live like Jesus, it means we are walking in his light. 1 John 1:7 says, but if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, purifies us from all sin. So having a Christ-like attitude can mean many things. One of humility, selflessness, and service. But it also means having an attitude of trust and worship towards God. The purpose of God is for us to be like his son, to be like Jesus. And that's known as Christ-likeness, because it's in his plan. We read in Romans and in Corinthians, God's plan for our lives is to transform us into the image of his son. Very clearly mentioned there. But it's not at the click of a finger or something. This is it's a lifelong process that involves us growing spiritually and also developing our character. But we can't do this or live our lives like Jesus by ourselves. That is why we have been given the Holy Spirit. That's the reason why Jesus said, I will go to my Father and I will ask him to send you a helper. That's the first thing he told the disciples. Don't go anywhere, stay here, because he knew without the Holy Spirit, they wouldn't be able to do anything. The Holy Spirit transforms us into the image of Jesus. The more we see of Jesus, the more we become like him. One of the clearest and most powerful verses in the Bible can be found in 1 John 2:6 that says, whoever claims to live in him must live as Jesus did. I don't think the Bible can be any clearer here. Anyone claiming to be a Christian must walk and conduct themselves as Christ. That's what God's word tells us. Not me. God's word tells us that. We are being told to be imitators of Christ in every possible way. And this means we need to strive to be as prayerful as Jesus was when he walked on earth. We should strive to be loving and merciful as Jesus was. We should fight to be about our Heavenly Father's business. We should fight to do God's will. Not my will, but yours be done. The Bible often calls the Christian life a walk. It speaks of walking in the Spirit, in God's ways, in love, in truth. So our life then shouldn't be stagnant, but instead we should develop to be increasingly more like Jesus. So what should our heart's cry be? Lord, teach me how to walk like you did. Teach me how to love like you did. Teach me how to be obedient, just as you were. Teach me to be forgiving, just as you were. And you are. Teach me how to be humble just as you were, and teach me how to pray like you did. Darren mentioned earlier, Sat's talk last week, and Sat's message last week also challenged us to live our lives as citizens of heaven. Live our lives worthy of the gospel. And the gospel encourages us to live our lives like Jesus. And to remind us again, we cannot do this on our own. We need the power of the Holy Spirit to be in us, obeying and leading, for us to obey and letting the Holy Spirit lead us. Remember, God has given us a spirit of love, power, and of a sound mind. That's the Holy Spirit that our God has given us, His Spirit. So our key question is, how do I become more like Jesus and less of me? First Peter 2, verse 21 says, "To this you were called, because Christ suffered for you, leaving you an example that you should follow in his steps." I believe this is true Christianity, following the example of Jesus Christ. Jesus says in Luke, what does he say? "Take up your cross and follow me." My friends, I want to encourage you, but following Christ is costly. Following Jesus and his ways is costly because you have to deny yourself. It's no longer your will, but it's God's will. So it will cost you time, maybe our pride, our selfish interests. But our love for Jesus and our obedience to him should supersede everything. So, before I, as we end, what's our challenge? So our challenge is to reflect Jesus. To reflect Jesus. I heard a talk a long time ago, and I think I've shared it with a few people before. But one of the good ways, or one of the easy ways to remember, or one of the ways to remember how we can reflect Jesus is through what we call the three C's, okay? And so our challenge is how can we can reflect Jesus in our conduct. So that's both outwardly and inwardly, okay? In our character and in our conversation. So every conversation we have, and rightly through our character, but we have to work on this, and not on our own, not through our own strength, but asking God, inviting the Holy Spirit, asking for a renewal of Holy Spirit every day. It's not that once we get the Holy Spirit, that's it. And asking, as I said earlier, asking God to align our spirit with his spirit. Asking God to align our ways, our thoughts with his. And of course, reading his word and asking to draw you close to him. So that's our challenge for the day, the week, or our life. May our Lord bless each one of you abundantly, and let's just close in prayer. I'm just going to pray to you now as we. Father God, thank you for your word, and thank you that your word is the truth, and that your truth penetrates our hearts and sets us free. Thank you for the gift of the Holy Spirit that you have given us to help, guide, lead, and teach us. Strengthen us, Holy Spirit, and help us to be strong in the Lord, to be strong in prayer, to be loving to others, just as Jesus was loving. Help us to be a people who are renewed in our mind and in our spirit. Lord Jesus, we desire to be more like you. Help us as we strive to imitate you. May we walk just as you did, Lord, so focused on the work of the Father. May our hearts be filled with the love of God, so that even the unbelievers in this world may see the light of Christ within us. Help us to grow in humility, in forgiveness, and in the fruits of the Spirit. We proclaim your mighty name, Lord Jesus, that your name is above every other name, and that at your name every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that you are Jesus Christ our Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Amen.
Amazing.